Welcome to the latest United We Stand podcast. My name's Andy Mitten and I'm in a pub in Manchester City Centre Thursday night before the derby. I'm joined by Maka, who's known as the Paris Angel on Twitter. He's a big Manchester City fan, he's been going to match all his life, and he's a blue from Salford. Welcome to the United We Stand podcast, Maka.
Thank you, Andrew.
How are you feeling about the game on Sunday?
Surprisingly, this is probably the least nervous I've ever been before a derby in all the years of Sporting City. Not through confidence, because I'm never ever confident before a derby. However, I don't know, I can't put my finger on it. I think last year might have been a bit of a
taste of what's to come.
Well, no, not that. Just it's kind of, I'm not sure. I'm quite relaxed about it all. I think the worst that's ever happened has happened with the last minute defeats that we've had. And then the best that's happened has happened with what happened at your place last year. So I don't know. I'm not looking forward to it. So if you look forward to a derby, there's something wrong with you, quite frankly. But I'm all right.
I've not got a clue what's going to happen. I don't know it's going to be 0-0, 5-3 to either team. The only probably thing I know is that United will go behind. The only thing I'm worried about is one thing coming back against Reading or Southampton. Doing it against a City team with a good defence is obviously much harder. You don't seem to have been playing brilliantly though. I know that the two Manchester teams are at the top of the table.
Yeah, no, you're probably right. Well, no, you are right.
I'm not seeing you play apart from
stats-wise, it's easy to make a case for being as good as last year in terms of our defence is very good. However, if you watch how we've been playing this year, it's stop and start, it's not great. Mancini's giving Dzeko a start here and there. Dzeko shouldn't be starting any games. Dzeko should be on the pitch for the first hour.
Why? He's just a sub, effective coming on as a sub.
For the way we play, yeah. In terms of his ability, he would score an absolute hatful for you with the way you play. Now, when he scores his goals for us, is how you set up. Because it's no coincidence, when he scores goals for us, the game is stretched, we go more direct, and he scores. However, when he starts the game, it just does it so. Now, I just start with Tevez and Aguero every single game. That's just me. However, I can appreciate what he's doing, and he has earned a start. But he's not going to start. I'd be amazed if he starts on Sunday. It's been a bit stop and start. It's not been great, but we're in a position where it's not too bad. It could be a lot worse.
It's a big game. It's not as big as last year. The one in April was probably the biggest ever Manchester derby that night. That was so disappointing being a United fan that night. Okay, losing the game was one thing, but just not playing, that's what did me.
You didn't have a shot, did you?
No.
I mean, that's the thing. I mean, it's like not having a shot on target, but I mean, I just don't get. I mean, it's a funny story. I mean, me and my mate were in the pub in the town before the game, and me and my mate Faz were at the bar, and then he just gave me a nudge and went, the teams are coming up. So ours have come up, right, okay, that looks alright. And then yours came up, and it was like a double take between both of us just going, what's he doing? How's he done that? So I can only imagine what you lot were doing looking at it. And it wasn't a case of, oh, he's picked that team and it's turned into a masterstroke. He picked that team and it was exactly how you imagined it to pan out. It was just like, nothing there, was it? There was just nothing there.
No, it was horrible. It was a horrible game. I mean, I think
he... That's only after 20 minutes.
I know. He's effective in some games, usually against Arsenal away, but... Again, what's happened in Europe? Why?
Don't know. What? This isn't. Last year, you could look at it. 10 points, we were unlucky.
Yeah.
But if you watched every single game, we played one decent game away from home, which we won against a poor side, against the same poor side that we struggled at home and won in the last minute. So you've got that last year. You've got this year, which was poor again. Okay. We had a really, really tough group. There's no getting away from that. We had a tough group, but we should have beaten Ajax away. and we should have beaten out at home. And we didn't. And not only that, we were abysmal against them away. So if you're looking at Mancini, well, yeah, he's under pressure because at the end of the season, not now, it's ridiculous, but at the end of the season, if you're going to look at, well, if the owners are going to take in his pharmacies in Europe for his other side, well, yeah, he's going to be under a little bit of pressure. Personally, I think he might get, he's going to get one more shot at it,
yeah.
even if we won the league. But then again, do they take the opportunity? Do we think there's somebody out there that if they don't get him now, they're never going to get him? That's what it's going to come down to.
Guardiola. I see Soriano there, Begiristein, Spaniard, Catalan, both work together at Barcelona. It's too easy to fit the third piece in of the three. And we don't know what's going to happen. But if I was a betting man, I would say that Mourinho and Guardiola will both be working in Manchester in the future. One at United and one at City. That's how it looks at the moment. Of course, football can change. And don't know whether Sir Alex Ferguson will call it a day at the end of this season, which wouldn't surprise me. Or go on and on and on and on the job, because that's all he knows.
Would he retire because he thinks there's an opportunity to get someone else in?
Good question. Guardiola is a standout candidate at the moment. Mourinho has had success wherever he's been. I think both of them would like the United job. I think they'd look at it as a club where they'd be given time. As much as United fans will mock the club for the Glazers and whatever, it's actually quite a stable club on a footballing level. It would be a brave decision. Ferguson said of Guardiola a couple of weeks ago, the bravest decision that man made was resigning. It was an unusual thing to say, because it's not in Ferguson's psyche to walk away like Guardiola did. You can say, well, Guardiola couldn't handle the pressure. I think there's a bit more to it than that. I think he's tasted success, he's done all he can do. He was conscious that he wasn't seeing as much as his family growing up as he would have liked, because he's a football obsessive. He missed his daughter in a ballet show because he was studying Getafe's defenders. And a lot of people of Ferguson's age group, Jim McLean, the old Dundee, they really regret missing their family grow up. And I quite admire Guardiola from stepping back from it and going to live in New York for a year, which is a great city. Doesn't need any more money, doesn't need to prove anything. One, he was a brilliant player, two, he was a brilliant manager. And he's going to get a good job wherever he goes. But people will say, you know, why walk away from that team? Ferguson said that Barcelona team could have been like Real Madrid in the 50s. They could have won everything. I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up in Manchester, probably at City. He plays good football. Not that I want to see him playing good football, but he does play good football.
I'd always, from what I'd heard through the grapevine, I thought Guardiola ought to live and manage in London.
Yeah, I think he would.
But I think Chelsea thought it was nailed on. However, what has happened recently, I think for someone like himself, I think might have completely turned it on its head. I mean, he came out this the other day, wasn't it, that his advisors have actually told Abramovich to back it.
Wind it in.
Yeah, exactly. And I can see that. And especially someone who's got the New York like he has, to get away from absolutely everything. He's probably thinking, I don't quite fancy this. But then, like United, no matter who takes it over, he's never going to be the same. You're going to need some kind of restructure, aren't you? It's not going to be like dropping someone in to replace Ferguson and then go on, do what he does. Because no one's going to be there for 26 years again. and he just controls everything, doesn't he?
Yeah.
You know, so you need to actually insert some levels of management throughout the club. Do you not think?
Yeah.
Do you agree?
Yeah. I think there will be a big change. There has to be. What does Ferguson do? Does he back off a little bit?
Oh, no, he's got to go.
Then there'll be echoes of Matt Busby.
Yeah, I know he's got to go.
What happened there?
But will he go?
And everyone sided with Busby with what went on with subsequent managers, but someone like Frank O'Farrell, he felt he couldn't do his job, and he's quite within his rights to say that. What do Blues think of Ferguson? Apart from, you know, there's the chance and the obvious stuff. Is there a begrudging respect that
he's got to be? I think as you get older, and then you appreciate, especially when you're actually in the midst of things like we are now, where we weren't before, where you're actually involved in all the trying to win stuff, then there is a respect. And to be honest, I mean, in terms of like the treble, now we've been there, I'm not entirely sure how you did it. I don't know how. I know you had a fantastic side and everything, but that is like unbelievable. But it's a very easy person to dislike.
Yeah.
A very easy person to dislike. But in the same way that Keane fascinated me, but I also hated him, Ferguson fascinates me, but I also hate it, because he's not a massive tactician. I think he wouldn't admit that himself, but he's not a massive tactician. So what is it that he's good at? He's obviously a brilliant man manager, but that can only take you so far, and it is just amazing how he's actually done it for so long, and especially with the way that he's only, it is like 4-4-2, bang bang bang, go for it. And it's like you've got Cagwell this year. As I say, it's a fantastic addition, but I'm not sure he quite knows how to use it. And that's the thing. And so, in answer to your question, yeah, there is a respect from some.
Yeah.
But he said a lot. He is just, but that's his way. That's his way. I never say I like the bloke. I think he's a bully. But, hey. He's great at what he does.
He's very friendly with a few older City players. I remember Ken Barnes. He was your chief scout.
Yes, yeah.
And he played for City. Hey, was he a legend? Ken Barnes? Not really. No.
More administrative side, didn't he?
Okay, but well respected.
Yeah.
And he came to Carrington a couple of years ago. And Ferguson told the first team to shut up, and this was Ronaldo, Tevez. I said, none of you would fit to lace this man's boots. Now, probably not true, because Ronaldo and Tevez are probably far better players than Ken Barnes ever was.
Yeah.
But how must he have felt coming in as a bloke from
City? And that isn't the first time I've heard stories like that. So, like you say, it's like,
oh, you hear good and bad about it.
To be honest, I've not heard any in terms of bad stories. If someone's met him,
yeah,
and he's turned out to be an idiot or anything like that, but it's how you, in terms of you portrayed.
Yeah.
And the champagne socialist thing is obviously going to rub people the wrong way.
The support for the Glazers, that rubs a lot of United fans up the wrong way.
Well, that's quite self-serving, isn't it? Yeah, not quite self-serving, very self-serving.
You look at maybe someone's personality might have, I don't know, 20 prominent traits, and I'd say 18 of us are good. But a couple of them, you think, whoa, why is he thinking that? Why is he doing that? He'll be missed when he's gone for all his foibles.
I don't think people quite comprehend how much he'll be missed.
Yeah.
In terms of it, well, in terms of United. I mean, I've got mates who, six or seven, when he took over. And it's just like, unbelievable.
Often see a reverence for him when you go outside the country, and sometimes you don't always appreciate the role, whether it's a player or a manager. And if you would speak to a Spanish manager or an Italian manager about Ferguson, they can't believe he's been there for so long. That's the main thing. People can't get rid of that. And you're right, he's probably not going to be a manager for 26 years at a major club ever again. How's City changed over the last few years? Has it been growing pains with the success? Has it been everything you'd hoped for?
No, I think this is the year when it started to go a little bit, just a little bit awry, and you kind of, things are sneaking in that you think, well, I don't quite like this, but nothing major yet. Nothing outside of the way football's going. Kids are talking about like away tickets and just the ticket prices in general. City is still really, really good at the moment for
how much should prices to watch?
What's that? Season tickets like £550. So it's
significantly cheaper than United.
Yeah, so it's not too bad. But the way things are going, it'll jump. Whoever looking to do it. So it's like in the south stand where I am, it's more or less the lads who were in the north stand at City, and they moved en masse, and the lads around us are sound, and it's all right. But then you hear horror stories from other bits of the ground where it's not as good, and they've got a problem with it. It's all right. I think it's the queue's going to be trying to nip some things in the bud, but are we going to have the power to nip it in the bud? That's the problem.
Plans to build behind both ends, yeah. New tiers, but that pushed the capacity up towards 60,000,
which obviously, like, instantly United fans, well, you can't fill it in the first place, but contrary to popular belief, we do sell out the vast majority of league games. Our issue has been with cup games, and it has been for a few years. It's not just been this year. So yeah, it's what the plans they have for the demographic and what they want to do with the standard fans, because from the questionnaire we've had around recently, it looks like they want to shove the cheaper season tickets up to the third tier, which personally that'd be me and my old man would be there since day one and whatever, just shoved up. We'd probably have to say about it, but I don't know how it's going to pan out. I've got to be honest, up to now there's been no problem, but I've also got to be honest, up until last year everything was geared at, the year before was, we've got to win something. We've got to win something. Got to get that banner down. Yeah. I know it sounds down. Yeah. But we've got to get that banner. We've got to win something. So we won that. We won the FA Cup. Right, that's that.
What was it like winning the FA Cup? I can't even believe I'm asking you this question. I don't even want to know the answer to. I remember when we won the league for the first time in 93, how I felt. It's never been as good as that since.
Well, I'll tackle that bit actually, but the first one, the FA Cup, I have never ever been so nervous in my entire life in travelling up for the semi-final. Because basically it was in your hands. It was in your hands. Because we've been shat, we've been terrible. We've been absolutely terrible. We've just got to beat Anfield. Tevez was injured. And Tevez was, at that time, he really, really was a talisman. So it was like, we're going to struggle here. And it was like, I can just imagine everything that's going to happen. So we won that game and we were brilliant in it. So then it was like, that's one monkey off our back.
That was the day when Dimitar Berbatov's future was decided.
It was.
By the man who makes the decision.
I know, but we'll go back to him as well, because I'd like to chat about him. But anyway, so after that, so then the next season, so that, even though you win the league, and that's still great, it always does. But then the next season, obviously, like the mates were saying, you're going to win the league. You've got a real chance of winning the league. Because we never win the league. It's like, no, we're not. I'm not sure. Yeah, but you're part of this, but yeah, I'm not sure we can do that for all of us. I haven't been there and just got into. So, obviously, what happened. And again, I didn't realise how much. But towards the end of the season, that got bad. I remember watching you at Blackburn.
Yeah.
And it was just like torture.
Valencia.
The missus was just going, yeah, turn it off. you know, because it was like they're going to win, but then it was like, what, 30 minutes from time? No, they're going to score. We'll turn it off. And then it's going, it's like, oh, God,
I thought we were going to win.
That was it. But then it's also reports get back, my mate's, God bless him, who have been there when it's all done, takes up for United.
Wigan,
he's like been tearing, they're tearing flags down with 20 of them, just saying, what you're doing in your beds. It's like, what are you doing? What are you doing?
I think when Fred Dunn comes out, that's always a kiss of death in some ways, isn't it?
So it was after that when it started getting on a bit of a roll, especially the Wigan. But even the Wigan game away, it was the Everton. Your Everton game.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever gone mental for a non-City goal in my entire life as that equaliser. Because I was just like, I'm going to win it. We're going to do this.
With a month of the season to go, I thought we'd run it. Never wrote that, never said it, but really thought we'd run it. And I weighed up which games I would go to, and I managed 6 out of the last 8 games of the season, home and away. I thought, I'm covering every base here, because we're either going to win it, this one. And I agreed on the final day of the season to go to Montpellier, because we're about to win the French League,
right,
for work. I thought, it's a great story, this. And it was a great story. Small team. Imagine Stoke winning the league. I thought, by that day, United will be champions. The game at Sunderland will be a dead rubber, because United will be champions. I walked into Montpellier that day. United weren't champions. I'd made all my arrangements. Half my mates were at Sunderland. And the title, after what had gone on at City, was in your hands. And I got annoyed with myself watching that game by how much I let it get to me. I'm a 38-year-old father, right? And I started to believe I was in a pub full of like weirdo expats in French. And it did my head in. You obviously, you would have buzzed off seeing it, and it was a big day for because you won the league. But I walked out of this dark pub into the midday sun of a French town ahead of going to a game like that night, just cursing, thinking, I can't actually believe what's gone on there. It was the cruelest way. And we've tasted enough victory. We've seen enough trophies, you know. We've been spoiled by Ferguson.
Of course, but you never...
But you don't see it like that.
I know, but it was like your mates, they were saying. My mates went to Sunderland just prepared for the worst.
Yeah.
But that's what we're saying, they were annoyed themselves, because the only time that they actually thought, you might do it.
Yeah.
It's when the final whistle went at the Stadium Alive.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh.
Because before the game, I didn't think we'd win the league. I thought we'd blown it.
No, that's what I mean. That's what we're saying. It's just like, right, we'll just go for a doubt. It doesn't matter. It's all gone in. It's like, don't matter. Whereas on the other side of the coin, I'm going to the game going, for the first time in my life, confidently we're going to win. First time ever, I'm expecting us to win. Because, again, my mindset was, if we'd have fucked this up, we'd have done it miles before now. We would have eaten up those 8 points to do it on the line. Even City won't do that against relegation favourites or someone who can get relegated. And it's Mark Hughes as well. There's no chance. And it's like, oh my God, what is going on? But the thing is, with that, I know this isn't going to help you or anyone else, but when we scored that goal as well, it was like the planets aligned. Because as we're running down the line, as we're going down the line, obviously, they're safe. So their bench go up. All the bench go up. So then half their players will go over. And it's like, what's going on?
I didn't know that.
A few of their players, I think it was Jamie Mackie, was running back, was going, and he's half punching the air as he's like looking at their bench. So next thing, so I'm a bit distracted. Like, what's going on? Saying to my dad, what's going on? I must be saying. Next thing, shit, run the edge of their area, and then what happened? That happened. But there was an element of, like I say, just it all just strange things happening and just being very, very, very wicked. Because, like I said before as well, when their second goal was when that ball was back in the net, horrible.
Yeah.
Worse than a relegation, and it shouldn't have been. Mm. It shouldn't have been at all, because it's not, is it? But, however, if we hadn't won the league last year, that would have been a real. I think that would have been a real problem in terms of winning it this year, especially if you'd have bought who you bought.
Yeah.
Because I don't think it is. It's far from nailed on, we're going to win it. I think there's a strong possibility you might win it.
Both Manchester teams are pulling away.
The gap, I think the gap will be as big as it's ever been. I don't know about you. What do you think? I think Chelsea just got too much going on. We've always had
Chelsea implode in November. Arsenal seem to be at war with themselves. I spoke this week with Arsenal's commercial director, and he's a bright corporate fella who basically saying if we do well commercially and, you know, we fill the stadium out and.
Is that not boring though, all that stuff?
Of course, that's why I'm saying it. Arsenal are a great club with a brilliant history. Is there an acceptance that they're not going to win anything? And then you've seen Liverpool decline quite sharply in the last couple of years from 2009, where
it seems ridiculous. No, how long ago was it that it was just a given that it, well, not just a given, it was accepted that things were advertised as high when it was the big four? It seems absolutely ridiculous now that we'd actually do that, but it was the big four. It was you, it was Liverpool, it was Arsenal, it was Chelsea. I mean, that's just seems to change it now.
I can remember the big five with Tottenham and Everton being in it going back 20 years, so it does always change. And I reckon if you looked at each decade over the last century and took the four biggest teams, there'd be quite a lot of change there. If you would have looked in the 20s and 30s, Manchester United wouldn't have been in it. There would be times where Tottenham would have been. In the 70s, Manchester United were a big club but didn't come close to winning the league. I think 76 we were still a. You came closer to winning the league in the 70s than we did.
Yeah.
Looking back at the old City, who were your heroes? People like friends of mine who are Blues, look, King Clancy, players like that.
Players like that, that was it.
Was it? Okay. No. Well, Benabia.
But Benabia's got. Well, taking it through the. Like, I started watching him in 84. So, and that's a story in itself, to be honest. This is unprompted as well, because all the family are Reds.
Yeah.
So first game I went to.
Because you're from Salford,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So
is Salford red or is it?
Of course it's.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course it's. So, I mean, I went to school in.
So why are you blue then? If all your family are Red?
Empire. But that was on United Books. That was on United Books. But, so the first game I went to was United, and it was 84, and it was like a away for it. And for some strange reason, my dad had not been for years. My dad, like I say, my dad played semi-pro football, and he had been. Well, he was on United's books. Then he was at one card. Keswick Hayes was his main one. So he's like, he's quite pit. Nobby Styles would be kind of contemporary. But some dad took us to United, and for some reason. I just took an instant, not for some reason. I just don't like it. But my dad had been for years and years and years. But my dad, because he played a lot of football, really wasn't ardent. He wasn't an ardent Red, and he went to Main Road a hell of a lot as well, because he played football like that. So once he took me to another couple, and again I went, hey, take it. So then he took me to Main Road, and it was like 84, we're in the second division at the time. For some reason, it was kind of, whether it's not my personality, I just took to kind of the underdog or whatever at the time, and just like absolutely loved it. And then it was for men, but the one thing was, my dad, season ticket for years and years and years next to it. So. That's how it started. Well, then going through that, I think it was up and down, but didn't expect any more. But then, like 1995, I went to university and decided, right, I'm going to move out. I'm going to go to Manchester University and I live on Oxford Road. I did the course for 4 years, so the reasoning for not leaving Manchester, because I didn't want to miss winning anything. So 1995, that was when it started. 1999 was when I graduated, so that's 1995, relegated to the Premier League. 96, just about stayed in that division. The next one, relegation. Next one, just about scrambled out of the second division. So from wanting to actually witness of winning something, it just was a living hell, because I was actually in Russia, and every time I walked out the door, I was actually seeing Main Road, and it was just like the worst period in the club's history. Well, you thought, what did you win, 95 to 99?
Just one or two. What was your low point as a Blue?
Everyone has a different point. Strangely, mine was Darlington away, and I forget now, I was thinking about this before.
Did you manage
to? It was Darlington away on a Friday night, and it was, I think it was the first round of the FA Cup, it was either first or second, and it was just awful. And I just thought, this is what we come to. But then, because the week after that, we were behind the dugout, and the staff, the players, we're just getting all sorts of abuse, and it was just like, it was that time, it's just like the fans in the club were just completely just not together at all, and just like falling apart, and to the point where that week Willie Donaghy had his piece in the Evening News when that was said about it, how we just need to like get behind the players and everything. But it was kind of people, a hell of a lot of City fans forget how bad it was. They look back now and think the world's to the spectacles and think, and just say that, we missed that, it was awful. The atmosphere around that time, a lot of it was evil. The atmosphere at Main Road was terrible, absolutely awful. And it was just, if we hadn't got out of that division in 99, I honestly don't know what would have happened. And I know it sounds over dramatic now to say it because of what's happened. But possibly, because we might not, if we hadn't got promoted out of the second division in 99, we might not have had a new ground to move into. And as great as we were in that year in terms of crowds, I'm not sure what the crowds would have been like in another year of that. And then from that, you just don't know. So turning points in the club, that dick-off goal, the FA Cup win, and last year, they're just three pivotal moments in the history of the club.
What were your biggest bugbears with United? Was it the player, was it the fans?
I couldn't pinpoint a player during the 90s. I mean, what was that? You had a team. You had a team that oh my God, I hate Michael. No, I think it was Michael. Ince. Now you see, everything he did, I could never bring myself to hate Keane. To think really hate Keane, because the thing with Keane is, at least he was hard, and he knew he was hard. I thought Ince was always a bit of a snide. Use, which came to fruition in later life. Don't know, it moved. I hated the way Bruce used to try and referee games. It was just that period though. Like I've said before, it was like, it's very easy to go as bitter, but it's very difficult not to have a certain amount of hatred towards you when you
in the worst state your club's ever been in and you're like cleaning up.
Looking at derbies, what would be your best and worst moments? Was it the 5-1 or the 6-1?
Loads of different ones for different reasons. The 5-1 isn't the earliest. My earliest was 2-0 at your place. With Arthur Alveston scoring an own goal. That was my first away derby. Again, this was ridiculous how football's changed. We played that on the Saturday. We drew 2-0 after going 2-0 down. Clive Wilson with the lowest diving head I've ever seen in my life. And Arthur Alveston. Then the next day, we played in the 4-members cup final at Wembley. We played Chelsea. 5-4. 5-4. But the next day, the very, very next day, because remember, Kenny Clements came off injured at Old Trafford. He was in tears because he knew he couldn't play the next day.
It's not even that long ago that the teams played.
What was that? 85, 86, maybe about
89, 90. United played Liverpool at Old Trafford on New Year's Day and won. And the next day, pretty certain of this. And if I'm not got it right, an Alarak will pull me up. Played Middlesbrough away the next day and lost. The next day? Imagine that now. Aside from United and City, I've been lucky enough to travel a lot watching football, and no matter what people say about Barca, Madrid, the Italian teams, I don't think there's anywhere where football matters as much as in the north of England. And I would include Liverpool in that, and Newcastle, and Glasgow, even though it's in Scotland. It permeates society more than anywhere I've been in the world, and the atmosphere might be far, far better in Buenos Aires or Rome, and the players might be better in Madrid or Barcelona, but football just seems to matter. It just seems to be a massive, massive issue. And if you
I genuinely do think we get overlooked in terms of exactly what you said. I mean, I can only speak for it from the way it is with Manchester. How long is it between you're probably a little bit different because more people know you. But when you're within 30 seconds of the conversation in the pub with a lad that you've never met before, it's a brilliant, right? And it's like, everyone's got, 90% of people have got something, haven't it? And it's always been the same. I mean, it's not changed just because we've got our feet. It's always been there. No, but I totally agree. But then, like I say, I've got a lot of mates who are Geordies and up there. I know they get a lot of stick because it has been focused on them a lot more in the past, the hotbed of football. But it is. It really is.
They're at Newcastle United, are a massive club. You look at their gates in the 50s, if you look to the top 10 average attendances in English football ever, it's Manchester United, because the ground's been bigger and obviously the average crowds are very, very high. I think Newcastle United are the only one to break that.
Well, things just with Newcastle as a club, though. When I was there the other week, and I just love the way St. James's Park dominates.
Yeah.
On a hill. You can walk out of your office and it's there.
Yeah.
You can walk out of your house and it's there.
And I think that's
fantastic. And it's like, there's no choice. You support Newcastle. And I think that's absolutely fantastic.
It's on the top of the hill.
Yeah.
We're on the edge of the town more.
Yeah.
In Callan Shearer's got freedom of that more, which allows him to graze his cattle on there if he's got any. And then it's downhill all the way to the River Tyne. And this two-sided, three-sided stadium just completely dominates. We've not got so much time left, but City have got big plans for the area around East Manchester. I know mates who live in that area who are absolutely appalled, and yet they appreciate the investment.
Appalled in which way?
It's City who are pouring money into the area.
Right.
But the area needed investment. The area needed money.
With the way the economy is and the way everything is going, with public sector cuts and the funding, it just wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
It just wouldn't happen. I mean, it just the metro in itself just wouldn't have gone there. I mean, I don't have too much of a chance, but I mean, I did
my dissertation on the ground. And so I took photos there, I've got photos of that area when there was nothing there, and it was just lit for just an absolute wasteland.
The old gasworks.
Yeah, around Bradford. Yeah. And it was like, being from where I'm from, it's just not a part of Manchester that I would ever have to go to. I never knew. And I've got this photo of just like this bus stop and this road. It just comes to an end. So from that, we've got what we've got now. And from what we've got now, and then we're going to have something unbelievable, really. It could not have been funded by central government. Now, I mean, you've got your David Combs, well, not Combs, each other, but David Combs still seems to have a bit of an issue with what's going on.
In terms of the funding and where the money comes from?
Well, I don't really know. I mean, Colin Schindler can kind of cast aside, but it's quite irrational. But with David Conn, for someone who I do respect in terms of what he says a lot of the time, I don't understand what he's driving at, because I know when there was some companies who need to be compulsory purchased. Well, they didn't have to be, but sort of made them allegedly was a reasonable offer. And kind of David Conn is taking their side, but I mean, in terms of what it's going to bring on balance to the whole of that area, well, it's unfortunate, but some people will have to.
How do Blues feel about the funding and where the money comes from? Is it an issue, or do you just feel lucky that they chose you?
I think we've got to take it back a bit and just remember what the situation we were in, and we were absolutely screwed. We were knackered. We had Chino Arthur, again, taking it back a few more years to forward with Flanner and Swales. I mean, for years we were having, let's say, we still are. Because that's the other thing that gets overlooked. I mean, I think we just kind of get dismissed, and we're not politicised at all. We're kind of divs, whatever. But we were trying to get Swales out for years and years and years, and we couldn't. And he was just ruining the club and ruining the club. So then eventually we got him out, and we got a funny way. He was better. It wasn't ideal. So from that, and then we had like a few more years, but and then we got Shino Arthur, we got promised everything. I know it seems daft to use because you're on such a good footing, but with Shino Arthur, it was like, oh, we've got all this money, blah blah blah. Then he went missing. And then they're going back to the senior figures at the club to pay the wages every month.
So that would be Wardle and people like that.
Bless him. And it's like, they got a lot of shit of people like me, really, who didn't really understand what was going on. But then, so then we get what we've got now, and it's difficult to. We're very lucky. I can understand why people dislike it. Taking Everton for an example, a prime example, because Everton they've been to Europe, they've got in Europe, they're well run, and then suddenly we've just gone back and we've kind of jumped over them.
Although they still beat you.
Yeah, no. They always beat us. Last week, but yeah. But that's sort of it. So I can totally understand it. But at the moment, I don't think anyone. I find it difficult to actually have any problem with what they've done and what they're doing. I think what the problems or the potential problems will be in the future in terms of pricing out people, but that's not happened yet. And hopefully, if there's any inkling of that happening, the best you can hope for is just you can just mobilise and just get it together and hope it doesn't happen.
Finally,
go on.
Predict the score of the game on Sunday.
You first.
That is so hard, and I'm sure people listening, honestly, United have become really difficult to predict this year. What do I know? I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if, like, you beat us 4-1.
What?
Or we beat you 3-1. It could swing.
It could be 0-0, is it?
That wildly.
I don't think I ever could. Do you remember that one? That horrible one? That 0-0? Seasons ago.
Yeah. And I think that was the November game. And I don't think you came out your half then, City.
No,
I thought you stayed in the trenches.
No, but you got away with murder. Because, like, you said, oh, well, they just said. But it's like, you didn't come for much more. That was it.
I noticed Tony, who's a good player. I noticed him cross the line at one point. That was about it. We sat in the main stand that day at City, just behind Brian Kidd. All right, we've both got to stick our necks out and have a pint on it.
2-1 for us.
Ala. 2-1 to United. I'll shake your hand now. I can't wish you the best of luck, but I've enjoyed speaking to you.
Cheers, Andy.
It's the morning after the night before, and I enjoyed having a good few beers with Macca last night. Didn't enjoy getting soaked because it was raining heavily in Manchester all night. A little apology about the background noise. We tried 4 different pubs last night and tried to get the quietest one. So I think if anything it shows that Manchester's busy leading up to Christmas, because the pubs we were in were noisy. So if it wasn't as clear as usual, then I do apologise for that. It's now Friday in Manchester. The sun is shining. Everyone's looking forward to the derby on Sunday. We're also working on the next United We Stand, so make sure you get your subscription orders in, because that comes out against Sunderland, which is the next game after the derby. We've got some really good guests lined up in forthcoming podcasts. Until next week, goodbye.